This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. NPR Senior News Analyst Dan Shore joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
The Congress adjourned Friday, 3-week Easter recess, after passing two different versions of budgets for fiscal year 2006. The vote was close in both chambers. How are these two budgets different? What's going on?
What's going on is that the administration is supposed to have control of both sides of Congress, but that control isn't complete. And so the Senate gets to outdo the president on the amount of money that's to be given back to people by cutting taxes, but the Senate has also refused the president on his idea of cutting Medicaid funding, which the House has also voted. At one point, Senator Pete Domenici says, "We don't know what we're doing." And I guess that's what's happening with this Congress. There's no agreed budget. Heaven knows when there will be one or if there will be one.
Is this an example of how a second-term president, whatever advantages he or she has, sometimes doesn't have the political clout?
I think that's right. All these people have to run again, and I was thinking about constituencies, and the president doesn't have to run again, and he can think about his legacy.
I'm interested in this provision in the Senate budget that would open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska to oil drilling.
Yeah.
This has been hotly debated for 20 years. If there's no budget, what happens to that provision?
It's attached to the budget, and so if there's no budget, the provision also isn't there. On the other hand, it is now difficult to get it out, if anybody in the Congress wants to get it out, without attacking the whole budget. So what do you have is that that's to keep the Democrats from filibustering by tying the whole thing all together, and the chances are that he is closer to getting that long-desired drilling in the wildlife refuge that he's been trying to get for, what did you say, for 20 years, at least 20 years they have been trying to get it, and I think it begins to look as though they are going to get it.
The House Government Reform Committee held hearings Thursday on the use of steroids in baseball. Some of the biggest names in the game were subpoenaed to testify. If I might put it this way, names so well known even you recognized a couple. Mark McGwire.
My favorite sport grew up in the shadow.
And now your shadow dwarfs Yankee Stadium. I know that.
And now my shadow.
But what was your impression of the hearings?
Well, I'll tell you, maybe seeing all these stars on the grill this way may be more exciting than some baseball games. Also, we discovered a new form of the Fifth Amendment. Eight times, Mark McGwire said, "I'm not here to talk about the past." He didn't say, I can't talk about this because I have the right to remain silent and so on. But it is the baseball version of the Fifth Amendment. What I think about the whole thing is that the rewards of stardom in sports like baseball are so tremendous that there is a great temptation to do anything you can to improve your performance. Also, I think one thing I finally learned, what inside baseball really means.
It's pretty good. Of course, one of the last things Congress addressed before recessing was a vote to try to intervene in the case of Terri Schiavo.
Yeah.
This is a woman in Florida who has suffered brain damage after a heart ailment, I believe it was 15 years ago, and her feeding tube has been removed. Congress objected.
Yes.
The U.S. Supreme Court today has decided not to intervene and have the feeding tube restored. What do you make of so many public bodies taking public positions on the case of this one woman in a bed in a hospice in Florida?
Well, what do you make of it? It is politics. Senator Bill Frist, a doctor in the Senate, is ready to make a diagnosed from videotape. He's never seen the patient. Tom DeLay, the majority leader in the House, has financial problems of various kinds. He's very happy to turn people's attention to this big story down there in Florida. So you're getting a bizarre performance of the committee issuing a subpoena for Terri Schiavo to come and testify. And if, because of the removal of the tube, she cannot testify because she dies, then are you ready for this? That is contempt of Congress by hindering her testimony. You know, sometimes I wonder about what the word contempt of Congress really means.
What do you make of the president's nomination of Paul Wolfowitz to head the World Bank?
Well, he's picked somebody that he has a lot of faith in. He's made life a little bit difficult within the World Bank. Paul Wolfowitz is a spiritual father of the Iraq invasion, and there are a lot of people in the World Bank who were against the invasion, which, by the way, today's the second anniversary of that invasion, just to mention it. It's controversial now because governments are partly because the administration didn't follow the usual tradition of getting advance approval from all the other members of the board of the bank. And so there will be some fuss and feathers. Mm-hmm. Wolfowitz has been on the telephone with Bono discussing poverty. He's a quick learner. It'll probably turn out all right.
Does the nomination of someone this close to President Bush suggest, maybe contrary to some expectation, a renewed interest and commitment to the work of the World Bank?
It may very well. It is a question, is he just picking somebody who is his friend and whose performance he knows, or is it, as you suggest, to say picking a big hawk like this to win the World Bank, maybe like Robert McNamara as defense secretary being put there, showing that you are moving from war to peace and moving to help poor people?
A couple of deaths to mark this morning that I know one in particular affects you personally. Saul Linowitz has died of pneumonia at the age of 91. He helped found Xerox and served in the Carter administration as envoy to Latin America and the Middle East. You guys were friends, longstanding.
And helped to negotiate the Panama Canal Treaty. What can I say about him? Because it's purely personal that he was a person of great wisdom and great gentleness, whom one enjoyed seeing because he always had a new view of a very intractable problem, which he had a way of making tractable. He'll be missed.
George Kennan died in New Jersey at the age of 101. He will forever be known as the architect, the designer of what was called the policy of containment.
Right.
Wrote a famous article in Foreign Affairs, the idea being to contain the spread of Soviet influence until the Soviet Union itself could unravel.
Right.
What do you think the legacy of George Kennan will be?
Well, he correctly assessed that the Soviet system was rotten at the core and that it would eventually collapse of its own weight, which it did eventually. A lot of people didn't like his Cold War, but I suspect they would not have preferred to have a hot war instead. He loved the Russians and their culture. He didn't care a lot for Americans, it sometimes seemed. And yes, he did put his mark on this whole century.
And you knew him at least a little, didn't you?
A little bit.
In Yugoslavia, he was ambassador there?
He was ambassador in Yugoslavia, and in 1962, when I went down to Yugoslavia because the Secretary of State was visiting, and he called me to come to the embassy for a briefing, and at this briefing, he spent a fairly large amount of his time complaining because the State Department didn't want to pay to build a swimming pool in his embassy.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Yeah.